This is Jay Sekulow, the president, getting tough on Iran and standing up to UNESCO.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
In protecting America's interests abroad, we will always support our cherished friend and partner, the State of Israel.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
We'd like to see overall UN reform. And as a part of that, I'll just include this in that. Ambassador Nikki Haley has talked a lot about the importance of reform at the United Nations and an entity such as this. We'd like to see the politics kept out of it. And we see with this anti-Israel bias that's long documented on the part of UNESCO, that that needs to come to an end. So the United States made the decision after a long deliberative process to pull out.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hey everybody, welcome to the broadcast. Well, a lot of news developing this morning and today on the issue of the Middle East, specifically on two fronts. One, UNESCO. That's the United Nations organization that's probably passed as a sub-institution within the UN, more anti-Israel resolutions and positions than you could count. The president pulled out of UNESCO. That was done through the ambassador, Nikki Haley. Interesting comment. It was, I welcome, this was from Benjamin Netanyahu. He tweeted, I welcome @RealDonaldTrump's decision to withdraw from UNESCO. Again, I have instructed the foreign minister to prepare Israel's withdrawal from UNESCO in parallel with the United States. So they're also pulling out. UNESCO passed some really very, very troubling resolutions, one of which was the claim that the Temple Mount is exclusively an Islamic holy site. The Temple Mount, by the way, just listen to the name of it. It's the mount, it's the area that was the original temple, which is one of the holiest sites within Judaism. So this is, the Temple Mount is exclusively an Islamic holy site. And that passes through a UN subcommittee. Now, interestingly, we sent a letter to the Director General of UNESCO objecting to that, and we sent a letter to then, in 2012, to then Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, expressing our position that this move by UNESCO was both wrong under international law. And then you got the Iran deal, and it looks like the president is going to do what we expected, which is to decertify the compliance with Iran and Jordan. That sets up a series of events, and that's pursuant to a legislation that was passed, 42 USC 2160, Congressional Review and Oversight of the Agreements with Iran.
That's right. So this would change, again, the nature of the Iran deal immediately because Congress will have then 60 days to make a determination. They can decide to impose sanctions, thus ending the Iranian nuclear deal, or to put in place parameters that would cause sanctions to go into effect, thus the deal would continue and potential for negotiating a better deal, which some are discussing would be probably the best outcome here, is if you could actually pressure Iran into negotiating an actual deal with real oversight. But the first step here is what the president is doing. You know, we can get into all of that.
Yep.
But what the president is going to do today is address the American people, decertify the Iranian nuclear deal. Again, and I like this about this president, he is pulling apart, as he did with the executive order yesterday on healthcare, piece by piece, the legacy of President Obama, which has been so damaging both to our country and abroad.
Yeah, and on the Iran, especially on the Iran situation. Now, what's also interesting here, we're taking your calls on this. Here's what we want to know from you. When you look at the situation with Iran and decertifying Iran's compliance, which is a big step that goes to Congress then for their actions, but then also pulling out of UNESCO, what are your thoughts on the president's actions with regard to the Middle East? We'll get into Turkey as well. We spent a lot of time dealing with that in our offices in Washington yesterday. So, of course, we have offices in Jerusalem. So all of these issues are front and center for the American Center for Law and Justice and our global affiliates. But we want to know your view. How important is it to stand with Israel? How important is it to you that the president decertify the Iran compliance and now pulling out of UNESCO? We'll take your calls and comments. Logan, you know how to do it.
Yep, give us a call right now. 1-800-684-3110. The lines are open right now. 1-800-684-3110. Join us on Facebook and Periscope at Jay Sekulow and Facebook.com/Jay Sekulow. 1-800-684-3110.
Want to encourage you again also to understand that we are fighting aggressively for Israel, both at the UN, but also in federal court when pro-Israel groups are being attacked. The ACLJ there front and center. Your opinion on all this, 1-800-684-3110. Back with more in a moment.
This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. There are so many challenges facing our nation. The rise of ISIS, an emboldened North Korea, and here at home, continuing threats to your free speech and religious liberty, as well as an out-of-control bureaucracy in Washington. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And if you want to make a difference, stand with the ACLJ and become a member today. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in the centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
This is what happens under existing law. This is what happens. So the president, if he makes the determination, which he will, he's not going to that he will decertify, in other words, not certify that Iran is in compliance. That gives Congress 60 days to consider what they're going to do, which could include the reimpositions of sanctions and other things. Now, this is a bold move because, let me tell you, and I think it's necessary, Iran is not, I mean, there is no evidence that Iran is in compliance with anything. I mean, this is, and as Jordan said the other day in the broadcast, you understand under the so-called deal, we were going to allow a nuclear Iran within a decade, which is now, by the way, about 7.5 years. So it's not 10 years out anymore.
We used to say decade, but it's been 2+ years. So now we're looking at closer, as you said, within 8 years, a nuclear Iran, an Iran that would be fully part economically of most of the world, the Western world, maybe not the United States, but the rest of the Western world. Would be able to operate with normal economic relationships as they have been doing since this deal began, which is why the Europeans have pushed back on the United States to keep certifying what we know is kind of a joke. I mean, we don't get any oversight here. We don't get into the facilities to really check that Iran is not doing this. But even then, this should not be a deal that ends 8 years from now. This should be a forever deal, is that we're only going to allow Iran to be part of the international business community if they stop funding terrorism and they allow us to monitor any kind of program involving nuclear development, period.
Also, it's likely the president will designate the Islamic Revolutionary Guard, Iran's elite military unit, as a terrorist organization,
a step
that has been subject of internal debates with previous administrations, but that's basically their enforcement division.
That's their real military. They are separate from the regular, like, Iranian Navy and Iranian Army. But they report directly to the Ayatollah. So they again, are not overseen by the executive branch in Iran. They are overseen by the supreme leader.
This is a big deal, folks.
So if they are designated a terrorist group, that's a step further than designated their allies like Hezbollah, which already are designated as terrorist groups.
Logan, get some comments ready from people. We'll take some calls. But I want to ask Than something. So, Than, this is going to go – the president decertifies. It goes to Congress. What are we expecting there? And what's the procedure? The law is – I read the law earlier. That's under 42 U.S.C. 2160E, Congressional Review and Oversight of Agreements with Iran. It is a Section E. Expedited consideration of legislation if the president fails to certify pursuant to that statute every 90 days. Yeah, and he's not. So what's going to happen?
So the sanction relief under the agreement, Jay, was multi-tiered. Some of it was international, some of it was domestic, and a lot of it has gone out the door. But what you would talk about is this 60-day review period where Congress could enact these snapback sanctions. So they would reintroduce them into the United States Senate, and they would have to see whether or not they could get the support to pass them. I don't know where those votes are yet, Jay, but I would say either way, this is a step in the right direction. Either Congress reimposes sanctions, and we deal with reality about the fact that Iran is becoming nuclear, or the American people get the whole truth, and, and this administration will have more tools to deal with it going forward.
But don't forget also that we filed litigation on this. We're in federal court on this right now because the American people were sold a bill of goods on the Iran deal. I mean, complete bill of goods. Remember, it was supposed to be because Ahmadinejad was out and a more moderate Rouhani came in as the president. It was more moderate. And then we find out, because of the great work of our friend at Fox News, James Rosen, we find out that actually the negotiations started under Ahmadinejad, and they conveniently edit this out of videos that were available in news conferences. So what do? We went to federal court and got the actual orders or the internal documents that say, oh, yeah, we got a call from somebody within the State Department saying, edit this out because we're concerned about what Fox News was going to report. Actually have that in writing. So that's why at the ACLJ, we don't just talk about these issues. We're litigating them. All right, we're taking your calls and comments at 1-800-684-3110. Want to get your reaction to Iran. We'll talk about Israel as well. Logan, what are you seeing online right now?
Yeah, a lot of people are very happy about this. Iran deal's been a disaster. That's from Mary. Holly says completely support him. Decertifying the Iran deal, it's another step in the right direction. So a lot of positive remarks coming out of the internet.
All right, also Benjamin Netanyahu said, I've instructed the foreign ministry to prepare Israel's withdrawal from UNESCO. So that's what I'm talking about on the other side of this. So you've got Iran and UNESCO, all of this happening simultaneously. When people are saying things aren't getting done in Washington, and they're not getting done in Congress, but they are getting done. There are actions being taken. So there you have it. All right, we'll take your calls, 800-684-3110. Let's go ahead and take one, Logan.
All right, let's go to William in Macon, Georgia, line two.
Hey, William, you're on the air.
Hey, Jay, how you doing?
Doing great, sir.
Man.
Yep.
First of all, I wanted to say this. I really commend the president on his not only his executive move for the the healthcare thing, but also him backing out this UNESCO thing, because what it does, it illustrates to us how strong we really are compared to the previous administration, who illustrated weakness towards us. And I feel like if President Obama uses executive power to overstep Congress boundaries, I believe that President Trump should be able to do within the best of his ability, within the law, to be able to exercise.
Well, and this is not being done by, this is not being done by anything extraordinary. This is actually a statute that says the president has to certify compliance every 90 days, and he's not willing to certify something that's not true, which is called, is Iran in compliance with the so-called deal, which, by the way, I call it so-called because there never really is a deal here.
No, but there's substance here into what the president is going to say. He's not going to just decertify us and totally punt this to Congress. He's going to ask Congress to develop criteria, specifically to establish, quote, trigger points, which could prompt the United States to reimpose sanctions. So not necessarily immediately reimpose sanctions, which would then throw the whole deal off. Iran pulls out immediately. But to put together trigger points that if Iran crosses those thresholds set by Congress, then the sanctions go into effect. What people think that that's going to focus in on is ballistic missile launches by Iran, so that they already have ballistic missiles, but launches of those ballistic missiles by Iran, a refusal to extend the duration, what we already talked about, of the nuclear restraints and the nuclear fuel production, and of course, then our intelligence agencies review. But I think that the most key point there is that extension of the duration of the constraints on Iran. If the president could get Iran to agree through this act, which Iran is going nuts over right now, and they still chant, you know, people still say this. So everybody's so upset that we're pulling out of a deal of a country that shouts
death to America,
requires their citizens to shout that in the streets. And we have a nuclear deal with them that we're finally going to put their feet to the fire on. That's really what the president's doing here. He's not walking away and like giving up U.S. power here.
No,
he's actually flexing U.S. power
exactly,
and telling Iran, here's the other things you're going to have to do to keep doing business with the rest of the world.
And this is, don't act like, this is not something that should be unexpected here. The president's been saying this for 2 years when he was running for president, now as president. And here's what he said on Sean Hannity's broadcast just a few nights ago.
It's a very bad deal. I'm not saying anything different tonight than I have been saying for 2 years.
Yeah.
It's a horrible, horrible embarrassment to our country.
Let me
and we did
you.
It out of weakness when actually we had great strength.
And that is, we did have great strength. We just decided to, I mean, the President Obama wanted this legacy of the Iran deal, and this is what he did. All right, we're taking your calls and comments. 1-800-684-3110. Your thoughts, we're talking about Iran right now. Again, 800-684-3110.
Let's go to John in Baltimore. You're on the air on line three.
Hey, John, go ahead.
Good morning. How are you?
Good, sir.
I want to call about that the UNESCO
yes,
situation.
Sir. Yep.
I got in my car after doing a home inspection. I heard that Trump had pulled out of UNESCO, and I can't be happier. I'm doing backflips inside my car.
Oh, there you go.
People don't understand. They're clueless as to the damage that UNESCO is doing, and why we're even associated or affiliated with the UN in general bogs my mind. And I would love to see more of the conservative networks doing some serious reporting and exposing the damage that the UN is doing and our involvement in it.
Yeah.
Just it shouldn't be. There's no need for it.
A great point.
I would love to be able to have more of that pushed to the forefront because UNESCO and the Settlement Refugee Program through UN, there's no oversight, and they just run roughshod over all these countries. And
no, he brought up a great point, is that people hear UNESCO, and I think in the news you kind of say,
sounds nice. Oh, UNESCO.
I mean, yeah, and if you actually read out what it is, you know, it's like the education, scientific, and cultural. It doesn't seem like it would be so powerful, except for when it declared that the Dome of the Rock was only a Muslim site. That would also then include the Temple Mount.
And the Temple Mount itself, which is the holiest site within Judaism,
is only for
Islamics. Right.
So, I mean, they do controversial actions under their very generic-sounding, happy name of education, scientific, and cultural organization. So the caller's right. He's well-educated. The fact that he's doing backflips on it leads me to believe he's really understands that the impact of something so benign can have, and the U.S. pulling out, as we've already pulled out funding, but pulling out of even their discussions as a waste of time, is it sends a clear message
but
to
let me tell
UN.
You something
We're
here.
Not messing around with
no,
this.
No, absolutely
anymore.
Not. But let me tell you something else. We have been working on this since 2012. Letters and documents, legal briefs we've sent since 2012. So, Than, we've been dealing with this at the UN for 5 years, and now we see a result.
The caller is absolutely correct. I was just as excited to hear this news. Look, UNESCO is so bad that even the Obama administration cut funding from them. Pulling out of even negotiating with them is exactly the right move. And look, let's go back to what Jordan just said. It's bigger than UNESCO. It sends a message to the United Nations that you better get in line or the United States is going to continue to inflict punitive measures against you.
Yep, phone lines are slammed, but they will open up 1-800-684-3110. Vicki quickly asked, how's the media reporting this?
They're not. That's why we're glad we're on the air. They'll to report the Iran deal. They're not going to report UNESCO. But I got a little bit of coverage yesterday, I guess. But, you know, the left-leaning media, probably not so much. All right, we'll take more calls and comments when we come back from the break.
That's right. Get your comments on social media, ACLJ.org, Facebook.com/JSeculo. You can tweet us at JSeculo, at Jordan Seculo, at Logan Seculo. We'll take some of those during the show and during the breaks.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. There are so many challenges facing our nation. The rise of ISIS, an emboldened North Korea, and here at home, continuing threats to your free speech and religious liberty, as well as an out-of-control bureaucracy in Washington. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And if you want to make a difference, stand with the ACLJ and become a member today. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org.
To the broadcast. Taking your calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. So if you're just joining us, two big issues. Number one, the president's going to not certify. He's going to state that they're not in, that Iran's not in compliance. He will not give a certification of compliance. That's going to require action in the United States Congress, which could include sanctions. So that's number one. Number two, the president, through our U.N. Ambassador Nikki Haley, pulled out of UNESCO. UNESCO has passed, I can't even count how many anti-Israel resolutions, including declaring one of Judaism's holiest sites, if not the holiest site, to be exclusively an Islamic holy site. So that tells you about UNESCO. So there you have it. So a lot of activity on the Middle East front today. We're taking your calls and comments, 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. You want to take a call or a comment, Logan? Your call.
Let's go to, let's take a call. Let's go to Ed on line four.
Hey, Ed.
Hey, Jay.
How are you?
Wonderful to hear you. I'm doing great.
Great.
I just want to say that I thank God that we have a man in the White House that knows what we need to do with Israel, and that we will cease to be a nation if we no longer stand for Israel.
Well, here's what, let me tell you what Benjamin Netanyahu said in a series of tweets within the last 24 hours. I welcome the president's decision to withdraw from UNESCO. This is a courageous and ethical decision because UNESCO has become a threat of the absurd, and instead of preserving history, distorts it. And then he said, I've instructed the foreign ministry, of course, of Israel, to prepare Israel's withdrawal from UNESCO in parallel with the United States. But as I want to say, and again, folks, I just want you to know, when you support the work of the ACLJ, what's happening. We've been working on the withdrawal from UNESCO for 5 years. I'm holding in my hands just some of the documents that we have submitted to the previous administration, to the UN. Fan, you worked this aggressively with our team in New York, and of course it was worked in Strasbourg as well. In fact, our European Center for Law and Justice sent a letter to the Director General of UNESCO regarding the resolutions on Jerusalem and the Temple Mount, and we have standing within the UN, so we're able to do it. But and then again, I want people to understand, we don't just talk about it on this broadcast. We've been working on this for 5 years, half a decade.
Well, those letters that you're holding, Jay, outlined to the previous administration that it was against federal law to continue funding UNESCO because they recognized Palestine as a state, and Palestine was in a unity government, the Palestinian Authority, with Hamas. The result of those letters, Jay, was that even the previous administration, at our urging, cut off $80 million from UNESCO. That was a major win, basically because we showed them that they had no choice under federal law. Now what President Trump has done, as with our continued engagement, is pull out of UNESCO altogether. And just quickly, Jay, the United Nations passes more censures against Israel than all the other nations of the world combined, and UNESCO is front and center when it comes to those resolutions. So not Syria, not ISIS, not Iraq. No, Israel is the focus of UNESCO, and it's good that we're now no longer participating.
Talking about that, the president was at a conference this morning. This is what he said about Israel.
In protecting America's interests abroad, we will always support our cherished friend and partner, the State of Israel.
So there you have it. All right, we're taking your calls and comments, 1-800-684-3110. What do you think, Jordan, before you get to, and Logan, look for some comments on this. What do you think the Congress, this is, when he decertifies the UN matter, goes to Congress for action. So he's got every 90 days the president has to certify. He's now going to say they're not in compliance. It goes to Congress.
Right.
So what are they going to do?
Congress will have to decide whether or not to impose sanctions or to put together legislation that would impose sanctions if certain things do or don't happen. I would go with option two being the best option. And here's why. I think option one, if you impose sanctions right away, the deal goes bad. I think you got to have some time to prepare for that. So you do the decertification, then you do option two. Option two is you pass legislation, says we want this, and this tougher new restraints. We want a longer deal with Iran producing a nuclear fuel, a ban on that. We want that to be extended so that we're not talking about less than 8 years for a nuclear Iran. We want more review. We want no ballistic missile test. And if there is a ballistic missile test, there will be a sanction. If you don't agree to the longer ban on nuclear fuel, we will increase the sanctions again. So things like that. That would be option two. So it's not the immediate sanctions go into place. It's that we put down the triggers that would cause the deal to be totally disrupted. By the way, there's been a lot of support from that the state of Israel. Is, you know, the walking away, everybody likes the general idea of just telling Iran, by the way, you know, we're done with you. But now that we're stuck with this deal, or have been stuck with this deal, as I've said, even before President Trump was elected, with other presidential campaigns that we're talking about it, you can start, the first thing you can do is to start undoing the deal. That is what President Trump is going to be doing today. This is the first step in undoing the Iranian nuclear deal. You can't just tear it up in one day. He realizes that. You start the process, and that's what's being done.
All right. So we're going to take your calls and comments at 1-800-684-3110. Comments coming in, Logan, what are you seeing right now?
Yeah, Mike just said, finally, president, that's showing true leadership. Other comments coming in, I certainly agree with our president on this in Israel. I've been waiting for this about UNESCO. Kevin said, I've been waiting for this for a long time. UNESCO is no good for us. I agree with the president pulling out UNESCO. So, again, the majority of today's comments are just in support. Isabella asked a question about Israel that I think we can take. She said, why does the UN dislike Israel?
Well, you know, the UN created or acknowledged the state of Israel, gave it recognition in 1948. The problem has been that they have passed more anti-Israel resolutions than on any other country, I think, combined. And it hasn't stopped. Now, we've been very aggressive. Stan just mentioned this at the UN, fighting this. But you got to be aggressive, because if you're not aggressive, let me tell you what happens. They just pass more. But this was a bold move. And I don't think Iran and UNESCO, by the way, are unrelated. I think all of this is part of a policy shift that is very significant. And it's a policy shift, again, we've been advocating at the American Center for Law and Justice, our European Center for Law and Justice, our office in Jerusalem. We've been advocating this for a half a decade. So this is a very positive situation as it came to UNESCO and also the not certifying Iran in compliance. You want to try to grab a call with 2 minutes, Logan, or you want to?
Sure, why not?
All right.
Let's go to Oscar. We've got a pretty straightforward comment.
All right, Oscar, go ahead.
Hi, good morning, Jay.
Hi.
Pleasure to be in your show.
Sure.
Yes, Jay. I just wanted to say I'm so glad that what the president did, and I regret that last time I had a vote for somebody else and not for him. But this is great, all that's going on, the times that we're living, and he's just in the right time at the perfect time. And also, I wanted to say that, I'm a citizen from the United States, but yep. I'm actually from Guatemala. And
yep.
Yeah, what Guatemala did, I also stand for what Guatemala did for Israel. I also stand for Israel all the way. If this UNESCO is good, it's going to be flushed away. And,
The UNESCO move, it's all part of showing a real level of support for the state of Israel. I mean, that's what this has really put in place. And this is a policy shift. As you're not getting things done so much legislatively, Than, we talked about that. I was with Than and our team yesterday in Washington. Not getting a lot of stuff done, you know, let's be realistic. On Capitol Hill right now, there's a logjam, to say the least.
Well, but Israel desperately needs a strong United States, yep, the United Nations, especially after the last administration. Just briefly to the last caller, I mean, the structure of the United Nations is dominated by the Organization for the Islamic Conference.
Yep.
One nation, one vote. But look, a strong Trump administration having that veto at the Security Council, they can stop a lot of this. And frankly, Jay, that's why we've been involved at the United Nations for so many years, too. It's not always fun, but it's critically important for Israel.
All right, we're here for another 30 minutes. So right. Logan's going to let you know all the ways you can get the next 30 minutes of the broadcast, and don't forget, support the ACLJ at ACLJ.org. Not just talking about it, taking action.
Right, many of your local stations do carry our show, but if they don't, you can find us broadcasting live video and audio on social media, facebook.com/JaySekulow. Just go to the Jay Sekulow page, you'll see it's the latest post. Same with on Twitter, you can find us there and at Jay Sekulow on Periscope. You can find us archived on the ACLJ app, as well as the Jay Sekulow Live podcast. Right back with another half hour, Jay Sekulow.
This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org.
major stories breaking today. President Trump not certifying that Iran is in compliance. That's number one. And that's obviously a big development. And then number two, the president pulls out of UNESCO, the United Nations Economic Science Organization, that's mostly engaged in anti-Israel bias, including determining that the Temple Mount, Judaism's holiest site, is actually exclusively a Muslim Islamic site. So pulls out, and now Israel's pulling out of UNESCO as well. So there you go. All right, we're taking your calls and comments. 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. Let's go ahead and take a call.
Yeah, let's go to Zach, actually, Murfreesboro, Tennessee. You're on the air.
Hi, Zach.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
The thing I'm the most pleased with the president is three times now he's pulled the curtain back on the Republican Party that I'm more disgusted at than I've ever been at the Democratic Party. DACA, the Iran deal, and health care, he's showing them that it's he's exposing them for what they are, that they've got a system that they're not working for us, and I appreciate that he's blowing the system apart.
Well, here's what happens on this one. So on the Iran decertification, the president, if the president does not submit a certification, which he's not, during each 90-day period following review, it goes to Congress. I'm going to go to Fan and Jordan really quickly here. Jordan first. This creates a – it does create a situation where Congress has to decide what those actions are. And I'm sure Congress wishes he was not decertifying this because they don't want to have to deal with it.
Do nothing, Congress, right? I mean, so this is again, the president can't impose sanctions. He can decertify. Again, as I said,
you understand that the president cannot put in place sanctions. That has to come from Congress.
He can decertify the deal, which then causes Congress to have to answer the question. Now they can answer by doing nothing. They can't answer by doing nothing. The way this was written. They can answer by doing nothing, and the deal stays in place. But the president would no longer be certifying it every 60 days. Which I think was this president could not take certifying this for Iran when we knew that there was no way to know if Iran was in compliance.
Right.
And yet we kept certifying it over and over again
after we knew they weren't in compliance.
Well, there was just no way to even when they couldn't
even verify.
But there was no way to verify if they were.
All right, Fan Bennett. Let's talk about procedurally what happens. By the way, we'll be taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. What happens now?
Well, first of all, Congress was counting on the president just going ahead and certifying, even though they told him that it was up to him to do it or not. So now they're stuck, and they should be stuck. What can they do? They can reintroduce sanctions, like Jordan said. They can do nothing, and that, I think, would be actually pretty telling because it would pull back the curtain on just how poorly Iran is behaving and give the administration more power. Jordan started talking about some other triggers. How about this one? How about Congress introduce a bill that says, look, once we can have access to all of your military sites, and once you are no longer self-certifying, then we won't sanction you. I think that should be one of the triggers that they introduce.
I think what's going to happen here is, look, I think the president, he's got a plan in place. That plan is going to be very clear that he doesn't want Iran destabilizing the region. Because you have to understand, the largest export of terrorism is Iran. We wrote a book about it called Unholy Alliance. They're the largest exporter of terrorism. And so Iran's can you imagine being the president of the United States and certifying this when internally you all are knowing that they're not in compliance with anything? Now, the question is going to also be, what are the Europeans going to do, Jordan? I mean, we've got our office, by the way, in Strasbourg, France, operating this. Again, yeah. We don't just talk about it here. We're working on these issues.
They're freaking out a lot with the Russians, the Chinese, because they're making money off this Iran deal. They don't seem to care as much about the Iranian nuclear threat as they do the Iranian economic boom that can have into their country, specifically countries like Germany, Russia, China. So they did not want this move. They will not want Congress to impose sanctions. Remember, this deal got through Congress by getting one-third support.
Right.
Now it's not going to work that way. So all these – remember, the majority of members of Congress voted against this in the U.S. Senate.
Right.
The majority voted no. Well, we saw this on Obamacare before as well, though. So will they actually vote no and hold Iran's feet to the fire?
That's what
we'll
see.
When it's real.
All right. All right, we'll take calls when we come back, Logan.
That's right. You got a couple lines open. Let's call 1-800-684-3110. Be right back with more.
This is a critical time for our nation. and the issues that matter most to you and your family. There are so many challenges facing our nation. The rise of ISIS, an emboldened North Korea, and here at home, continuing threats to your free speech and religious liberty, as well as an out-of-control bureaucracy in Washington. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And if you want to make a difference, stand with the ACLJ and become a member today. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Midnight Rider, the Allman Brothers tune by the Jay Sekulow Band. I think it's pretty great. In fact, at the end of the broadcast today, as a bonus to Facebook and Periscope, we'll play the video of that song. Anyways, let's go. Dr. Andrew Conmo is joining us, who's had a lot of experience, as we all have, in dealing with the Middle East. You got two issues here, Andy. I mean, and there's really three when you add Turkey to it. And by the way, the news on Turkey is getting worse by the hour. We were discussing that in Washington yesterday. But you got Turkey, now you got Iran. And you have, of course, the UNESCO issue. But let's do the Turkey-Iran kind of nexus here that's going on. Your thoughts about, and the president's is very strong on this, not certifying. That's a big move.
The decertification is a very big move. Obviously, it changes the complexion of events in the Middle East significantly. But I am very, very concerned about the deterioration of United States relations with Turkey. Yesterday, President Recep Tayyip Erdogan, the new Sultan of Turkey, the new Caliph of the Turkish modern state, which he has fashioned under his own in his own way, entered into a tirade against the United States, yep, ending up with a proclamation that he does not yet any longer represent or recognize the United States ambassador. This is the country that is the eastern flank of NATO. This is the country that houses Incirlik Air Base, where we, yep, store nuclear weapons, and where F-15 and F-16, yeah, fighter planes are taking off to do the things that we need done on behalf of the United States and NATO in the Middle East. This is a country that is now becoming estranged from the United States. It is a terrible development, Jay.
But it's a development that is being foisted upon us by the Turkish move towards Islamism. And that's just, I mean, that's what it is.
No, I mean, listen, we can't ignore the reality. They are still, as of today, a part of NATO. I think that the ability for them to be in NATO is key. We don't want to lose that.
Because we need that base. They need us to have that base, too.
Not only do we need the base, it kind of keeps a check on, as you could say, the new caliph, the new, you know, the mir, whatever you want to call
Sultan,
how Erdogan is operating. The truth is, it keeps a check there where you have the mega U.S. military base. Not quite a sultan of the past when a foreign power is right on your doorstep, but literally inside your home.
Yeah.
So that's an important check, and it's also important for Turkey, like you said.
It
provides defense to them. But we can only let them go so far. And right now, we are in a diplomatic situation where everybody listening to this right now, unless maybe there's some waivers allowed, but I haven't heard about that. we cannot fly to Turkey right now. If you had a vacation schedule, a tour schedule, you could not get a visa.
That's right.
And Turks cannot come here, and we are NATO allies.
And they did not and Erdogan said yesterday he's not recognizing the U.S. ambassador.
That's a fearful statement. It really is. And Jordan is correct. Except for immigrants, there are no visas being issued. If I wanted to visit the Ecumenical Patriarchate of Constantinople, Istanbul, who is the spiritual head of the Orthodox Church, of which I am a member, to pay respects to the Patriarch or to go to the shrine of the Church of St. George, which Jordan and I attended when the Pope was there couple of years ago, I could not go to Turkey today. The Holy Synod of the Orthodox Church, members of which are American citizens, which is the governing body of our church, cannot attend to conduct business, religious
and
business.
And you know, less than a decade ago, the Turks and the Israelis would have joint military forces?
That's right.
And they would have joint military planning? I mean, this is how this has gone. All right, we're taking your calls and comments on all this at 1-800-684-3110. Let's go ahead and take a call, Logan.
All right, let's go ahead. Let's go to Anthony in Washington, D.C., on line 3.
Hi, Anthony. Go ahead.
Yeah, you know, being an American, African-American, living in this country,
yes, sir.
I know how dear the worship of Jesus is and the Bible. And I only want to issue a word of caution. Don't get mad at me. God's the one wrote this. Revelation 3:9 and Revelation 2:9. It warns us about the synagogue of Satan. And what I'm concerned about is that the people who are running Israel right now may not be the Hebrews.
Okay. You know what? Anthony, first of all, I'm not going to get into a theological dissertation with you. I'm just going to tell you something. Israel's a Jewish state. And it will be a Jewish state. Read the entire Bible, by the way. So if you want to be clear on that. So Israel's a Jewish state, and guess where it's going? Nowhere. Okay? So you can pass all the resolutions they want at the United Nations. At the end of the day, guess who wins? Not too hard to figure out. All right, we'll take more calls, more comments. 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110.
Yeah,
I'm sure we'll have some comments coming in on that one.
It's obviously not what he told the phone screener, so that's fine.
That's okay.
We do have a few lines open now because of that. 1-800-684-3110. Eddie seems to have a pretty basic, I think a question we can answer. Eddie in Indiana, welcome.
All right, Eddie, you're on the air.
Hi, Jay.
Hey.
I have a question for you. Can Trump do anything without having to go to Congress about nullifying this terrible deal that Obama did with
Iraq? Okay, so here's what he can do under the law. Under section, the law is 42 U.S.C. 2160E. It's the Congressional Review and Oversight of Agreements with Iran. The president can fail to certify. He can, in other words, decertify. That is what his statutory right is. He cannot then say, here are the sanctions. So it's very. I want to go to Jordan and Than on this thing and get Andy to comment, but we got to be clear on what the president can and cannot do. He can say it's not certified, which he's done, but he is not going to be able to say, here's the sanctions that are going to be imposed. He could recommend. He can say, here's our strategy going forward, but then the legislation has to come in place.
We believe that the recommendation will be triggers that would allow for new sanctions, so not immediate new sanctions, but here's a list of what would cause new sanctions. That's what we believe we'll hear from the president very shortly from the White House as he speaks on this issue. But ultimately, the president is taking all of the action he can as president of the United States to get us out of this deal. So the first step is to decertify it at the presidential level. Then it goes to Congress. Congress decides if they go along with the White House strategy, which is likely to have triggers that would include new sanctions. Once those sanctions, if they do pass, or the potential for new sanctions pass, I think Iran ends up pulling out of the deal and making its own deal with some countries. But those countries are going to have a tough time doing business in the United States.
Andy, if you look at what the president's done with decertification of Iran's compliance and then UNESCO, those two issues.
Right.
These are two major moves in 24 hours in the Middle East. I mean, huge moves.
They are, but this is, of course, consistent with President Trump's action. He's only been president 10 months.
Right.
And look at the tremendous strides that he has made in reasserting the United States' influence in the world. And not only that, in the union with our partners, for example, in Israel, the ridiculous statement by UNESCO that the Temple Mount is an Islamic exclusively an Islamic site, when that was the site of the Solomonic Temple.
Right.
I mean, how can you make a stupid remark like that
and be
an organization that we're going to fund to the extent of $80 million a year, which Obama did?
Which we're not. No, President Obama actually cut funding.
Wait, no, I'm
sorry. Statutorily was obligated.
I'm corrected.
By the way,
corrected.
Republicans and Democrats have been bad on this, in my view.
Yeah.
I mean, George Bush was rejoined UNESCO after Reagan had pulled out at one point, and then President Obama got legislation was passed. He cut their funding, and then now we're pulled out. So I think this is all good. Then what do you think is going to happen? And we're waiting for the president to speak in just a few moments here.
Well, I think on the Iranian act, I think Jordan's right. I think Congress will put forward sanctions that are based on triggers. But again, I think it was important for the president to do this for two main reasons. One, he stayed within what Congress told him he could do. But Jay, look, if he can't certify compliance, what does that mean? It means that he can't certify that Iran is not going to be nuclear before the end of this term. He is the commander in chief, Jay. It is absolutely critical. If he cannot certify that we don't have a nuclear Iran on our hands in the next 8 years, that he tell Congress the truth about that and demand that Congress do something about it.
All right, we'll take more calls. Let's go ahead and take another call, Logan. We can do one right before
Irina,
the break.
Irina on line one in West Hills, California. You're on the air.
Irina, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi. Hey. Hi there. Hi. I am an Iranian Israeli American Jew. I'm delighted at what President Trump is doing, but you didn't answer the lady's question asking why the UN is so anti-Israel.
No.
And I think it's important you explain that to the listeners. There are how many? Over 50 Muslim-dominated countries?
No, we did say that. The Organization of Islamic Conference is the largest bloc within the United Nations. They are the, as far as influence bloc, you're exactly correct, Irina. They are the largest. So they are on these committees. And believe it or not, they are on committees like the Human Rights Council. You go on and on and on. So we did say that, but I'll say it again. The Organization of the Islamic Conference is the largest bloc within inside the UN. It's 51 votes before you start.
That's right. So when you go to voting blocks, you've got the Islamic world, for the most part, united around that. And second, of course, along with those countries are the countries that rely on cheap oil who go along and vote with them. So you'll have random Caribbean countries who are not necessarily anti-Israel, but will go along with what the OIC wants because they need cheap fuel. You'll see that in South America. You'll see that in Africa as well. Countries that are predominantly Christian going along with that voting bloc because of the offer of resources and cheap fuel.
And don't forget, on the decertification of getting out of UNESCO, rather, we've been working on it for 5 years. It's a good win. It took a half a decade, but a win is a win, and that's a good win. All right, we come back from the break. Logan will take more phone calls in the last segment of the broadcast.
That's right. Phone lines are open. Couple lines open. 1-800-684-3110. You also get your comments in online. We'll be talking during the breaks, but this is when we take most of our calls, so 1-800-684-3110.
We do have a petition that's out. If you're getting our emails at aclj.org, which you should be getting, defend Israel today as we take more legal action defending Israel's interests in federal court. Your support to the ACLJ makes a huge difference. Go to aclj.org. Any amount you donate, tax deductible. We appreciate your support. Keeps us in court. Back with more in a moment.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. There are so many challenges facing our nation. The rise of ISIS, an emboldened North Korea, and here at home, continuing threats to your free speech and religious liberty, as well as an out-of-control bureaucracy in Washington. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And if you want to make a difference, stand with the ACLJ and become a member today. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org.
back to the broadcast. Last segment, we're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. Two big developments. Decertification of the Iran deal, now putting that into Congress for action, and pulling out of UNESCO, which has been one of the most anti-Israel bodies within the United Nations. All right, we're going to take your calls, 800-684-3110.
Yeah, let's just take as many calls as we can. Like you said, give us a call. Clyde's calling on line two in Missouri. You're on the air, Clyde.
Clyde, go ahead.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Clyde.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to go ahead and put Clyde on hold, and when we get Clyde...
Friday the 13th, weird stuff happens on this show.
Is that what it is?
Maybe that's... Well, it is.
It is Friday the 13th.
So that's... So I think Clyde, the weird thing was, I think Clyde was listening to his radio.
Yeah, I think he couldn't hear. So
we'll go back
Clyde.
To Clyde in a minute, but let's go to
Sam in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Online.
Different Salem.
Hello,
yeah.
guys.
Yeah, hey, Sam from Winston-Salem, you're on the air.
Yeah, man, it's only a minor point, but you were talking a moment ago about the Muslim bloc in the United Nations and how they vote, and they vote for things that aren't even rational. And I think that... Isn't it reasonable that people look at the way that the Muslims act in the UN and assume that as Muslims infiltrate our government through elections, you know, becoming representatives and city
council
members?
Well, I want to go back to the UN. So we have Muslim countries that are allies of the United States. I mean, that's just fact. I mean, there are Muslim countries that are allies of the United States. And that's important. There are predominantly Muslim countries. That's what we're talking about, where the religion is predominantly Muslim within that country, that are working closely with Israel. I mean, one of the strongest alliances in the Middle East right now are the Israelis, the Jordanians, the Egyptians, and the Saudis. Now, who would have thought that 10 years ago? So I don't like pointing with a broad brushstroke. What I like pointing to, though, is the largest organization inside the UN as an organized bloc fan is the Organization for Islamic Cooperation.
And that block, Jay, does see some linkage, a lot of linkage between the United States and Israel. And look, this is why the United States has to continue to be there, because while they can pass these resolutions with that voting block, the way to stop the enforcement of those resolutions, Jay, is to use a veto at the Security Council. Remember, that's what the last administration was not willing to do, and it caused great damage. This administration is not only willing to use that veto, they're willing to withdraw from the subcommittees and from the entities within the UN that are passing those resolutions in the first place. It's 180-degree turn.
I'm going to ask this to Jordan and Andy. I'll go to Jordan first. What if Congress does nothing here? Because they could.
So if Congress...
They just can't get it approved.
Yeah, if Congress does nothing, the deal is in place but is in jeopardy. So it's tough for the other parties of the deal to rely on it, because at any moment a Congress could, you know, the president has decertified. He'd have to change that. He'd have to recertify it. So as long as it's decertified, Congress has the ability at any moment to issue crushing sanctions on Iran. I think that's enough.
You think they'll do it?
Even if they don't, I mean, if it just hangs out there like that, then Iran is going to be very upset, and I don't think they're going to just stay with this deal for very long.
So here's the question.
Here's the
president of the United States. Here we go.
United States and his words about Iran. Let's watch.
My fellow Americans, as president of the United States, my highest obligation is to ensure the safety and security of the American people. History has shown that the longer we ignore a threat, the more dangerous that threat becomes. For this reason, upon taking office, I've ordered a complete strategic review of our policy toward the rogue regime in Iran. That review is now complete. Today, I am announcing our strategy, along with several major steps we are taking to confront the Iranian regime's hostile actions and to ensure that Iran never, and I mean never, acquires a nuclear weapon. Our policy is based on a clear-eyed assessment of the Iranian dictatorship, its sponsorship of terrorism, and its continuing aggression in the Middle East and all around the world. Iran is under the control of a fanatical regime that seized power in 1979 and forced a proud people to submit to its extremist rule. This radical regime has raided the wealth of one of the world's oldest and most vibrant nations, and spread death, destruction, and chaos all around the globe. Beginning in 1979, agents of the Iranian regime illegally seized the U.S. Embassy in Tehran and held more than 60 Americans hostage during the 444 days of the crisis. The Iranian-backed terrorist group Hezbollah twice bombed our embassy in Lebanon, once in 1983 and again in 1984. Another Iranian-supported bombing killed 241 Americans, service members they were, in their barracks in Beirut in 1983. In 1996, the regime directed another bombing of American military housing in Saudi Arabia, murdering 19 Americans in cold blood. Iranian proxies provided training to operatives who were later involved in al-Qaeda's bombing of the American embassies in Kenya, Tanzania, and 2 years later killing 224 people.
All right, we're going to let me tell you what we're going to do. So that was obviously live from the White House for those of you that are hearing us live. Now, we re-air all during the day. So what we're going to do is come back in to our studios and go back up on Facebook. And for our radio audience, you'll be able to basically what we're going to do is we're going to freshen this up with this statements. Show, yeah. So, Logan, just tell everybody what we're going to do so everybody understands.
Yeah, if you're watching online, we're going to come back later on this afternoon and just kind of redo the first half of the show to make sure it's still updated as the president speaks now. Do you want to take a call?
Let's take the call. Yep.
James is calling in Dover, New Hampshire on line four.
Hi, James. Go ahead.
Hey, thank you. I just got to preface this by saying, you know, I went into the booth November 8th of last year and you know, I had to think about who I'm going to put down for the next president of the United States. And there's some things Trump has said, some things Trump has done that I've not, you know, been a fan of. But there are some things that I just praise God for. And this is one of them, the pulling out of UNESCO. Yep. And declaring Iran for what it is. It's a terrorist state.
Well, he called it a rogue regime. James is what he just called it.
He is a strong supporter of Israel. He is a strong opponent of Iran. He campaigned on that, and he's making good on those promises. And those are promises he can make good on as president of the United States.
Because it doesn't take the Congress to do that.
Congress can take the next step, but he can start the process.
His Congress will take the next step, and I predict that the Congress, if they can't get together legislation with respect to health care, if they can't get legislation with respect to tax reform, are they going to take on legislation with respect to a road state like Iran? I don't hold out a lot of hope for what the Congress
is going to
do.
Well, but the president's pushing hard here, and I think we've got to realize that push may look, the table's changed as of today. It's a different situation. All right, that's going to do it for the broadcast today. Again, for our radio audiences as well as our Facebook and Periscope audience, we are going to redo, we're going to come back in the studios in a little bit, analyze the president's speech, give you a new analysis. We'll be back live later this afternoon. We'll let you know.
That's right. Later on the show, you can find us on ACLJ.org, but you can watch that exclusively on social media this afternoon, Facebook.com/JSeculo, Periscope, search for JSeculo. And you make sure you follow us all on Twitter and download the ACLJ app. We'll talk to you later today online and on Monday back on radio.
This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, ACLJ.org.